layman's terms, a clean audit opinion. Starting out with some highlights, your major sources of revenue being property taxes being number one, you had a significant increase, a 5.72% increase in taxable values this year, which is great. We love to see that. The 5% has been kind of the, with the inflation rate and everything, most communities are seeing 5%, but you're a little bit above that. The year before, you were like 3.7%, just to give you an idea of the jump that we saw this year. And again, you didn't raise your taxes. It's just taxable value increases. State shared revenue, comparative to the year before looks like it's significantly higher, but in fiscal year 22, there was a one-time census adjustment. You received a nice extra for 2020 and 2021 thrown into 22. This year, we didn't get that lump sum extra, and it was, if you compare without that lump sum, it was flat from the year before. And also, they're projecting next year to also be kind of flat, no more than a 2% increase next year. But that, of course, is based on sales tax and income tax that the state collected and distributes to the local units. But the real story here are the investment earnings. Nice job, Treasurer Eldridge. So the township did receive, so overall for the township, we're talking about a $1.6 million increase in investment earnings this year, just in the general funds of the township. Of course, the interest rates were a little higher this year, but the treasurer did take advantage of some investment vehicles that were available to the township, but you're still in very safe, in sound investments. We're not investing in anything crazy, abnormal, unusual, anything like that. You're still very, very much within the solid realm of investments for local units. The after transfers out, the general fund used $2.1 million of your fund balance this year, which you had projected to do. Along with the story of significant investment earnings this year, you accomplished a great deal in capital outlay this year. A lot of construction within the township to the road improvements, specifically building improvements. Also, you purchased some new vehicles. So you accomplished quite a bit this year in capital for the residents this year. Total capital additions were $4.65 million that you spent this year. You paid down $241,000 of debt principal. The year before, you had a significant payoff of one of your other debt bond issues that was gone in 22. So this year, you didn't have as much. You paid the principal and no new debt in fiscal year 23, which, of course, we like to see that as well. Building department inspection revenues decreased this year, about 28% decrease. However, you did budget for less revenue this year because you knew about the, you know, development within the community. There were some big projects in fiscal year 21 and 22 that were wrapping up, and we knew we wouldn't see that significant building department revenues in 23. You're also projecting a little less next year in your fiscal year 24 budget. The pension liability, your net pension liability increased $2.6 million this year, mostly because of net investment loss in the pension funds, but that's both in the fire pension and the township MERS plan. The investments are valued as of 12/31/22 for this audit. It was a terrible day in the stock market. So the numbers show a significant loss in your investments. However, we've already made it to 12/31/23, which we'll report in next year's audit, and you've already made up that loss and then some. So you're fine. I wouldn't lose any sleep over that. That's what the numbers show for this year. However, you've already made it up again for next year. And hopefully 12/31/24 will also be a good day in the stock market. So that was a $2.2 million loss in investments for the MERS plan and $4 million investment loss for the fire. So not insignificant numbers, but like I said, you did make that up again, and you should be fine. The township is pension plan is 64% funded at year end, and the fire is 71% funded at year end. with that, if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to address them this evening.
Questions or comments?
When you gave those last two amounts for the percentage of
funded,
what's the optimal percentage of funding for those two funds, the pension funds?
The state likes you at 60% or greater. You're at 64 and 71% on the respectively on those plans. Okay. But you're going to go back up again. The year before you were at 76 and 90. And that investment loss just really brought the funding percentage down. So I plan to see you back up in the 76 to 80% range presenting next year.
So by the end of this year, end of this year for next year?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Other question? Did you have another question, Trustee?
No, I was mainly concerned about the pension fund liabilities and our funding balances for those. And I see that, and when you talked about the investments for last year, which it was, these numbers are the stock market, represent the stock market from last year.
Correct.
And so, you know, it'll be a year since, and the stock market's rebounded. So we can use these, but we have, with the understanding that the numbers have gotten better this year.
Correct. That's why it's a significant decrease shown in this audit. However, I just wanted you to know that we've already made it to December 31st, 23, which next year's audit and the investment loss or gain would be based on the stock market that day. And that was, you're already you've already have the numbers as far as the net investment income for this year. And it's looking so, you surpassed the loss that you had the year before. So we gained some.
So if we were to use this as a reference to pursue more bonds, then we would have the understanding that the numbers are better than what they say they are in this book.
Correct. That is correct. That's a true statement. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Other questions or comments?
So I'm wondering, and this might not be something, maybe I have to find it out another way, but I know that the state funded some pensions or retirements for some communities because they were underfunded. Does that mean they funded 100%, or does that mean they take it up to these values that are ideal, like 60%? Do you know, like, how does that work?
I did have some municipal clients that did receive the Michigan pension grant. Those were for communities that were under 60% funded, and the state just brought them up to 60%. They didn't take them up to 100% or some other. We did the calculation based on things like net investment gains and losses and projecting out for the next year and just take them right up to 60%.
And that's not something they typically do.
Correct.
That was a one municipalities.
Yes. Right. And I think that was some of the state money the state had from American Rescue Plan or, you know, other federal programs that were one-time appropriations that the state had, and they thought that was one way they wanted to help the communities.
So if you don't meet those obligations, you don't hit the 60%, do they
ever? If you're 61% funded, you didn't qualify.
Right, I understand that part. But, like, what happens, like, does the state just let municipalities run below that 60%? Or, like, are there penalties? Like, what happens if you're a municipality that runs below that?
The state does keep an eye on that. That's one of the things as we report your audit to the state. We have other numbers. We don't just upload the audit. There's other things they ask, questions they ask us, and that's one of the things they are specific on. There's also a separate report for your pension plan that goes to the state. So they are keeping an eye on everyone's funding percentages. If you do go below, it's usually either they have... Some communities have other issues other than just their pension plan, so they kind of look at it as a broad picture. They want to know which communities are financially in trouble overall, not just in their pension plan. It's usually an indicator of other things maybe decreasing within a community. But in many communities, because you see how big these numbers are, their pension plan may be under 60%, but the rest of the community is solid financially. And they work to try and, they meaning the municipality, would work to try and bring those numbers, their funding percentages up, and the state pretty much just keeps an eye on that. They like to see the progress, and it could be as simple as the net investment gain or loss between years. If they see patterns and trends like experience rates changing, the state is also giving us the assumption rates to use. There's uniform assumptions, they call them, and we're not allowed to go below those rates when you're doing your actuarial reports. So the state is very much involved. The short answer is they can't really do anything as far as stepping in to help your pension plan. That was a one-time grant that they decided to do.
Does that factor into our clean audit, that we met those obligations of the percentages?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, we also take into consideration, we have actual numbers as of a year later that will play into next year's audit. So we, you know, I'm not here to sound any alarms. You're going to be just fine.
One more question.
In your opinion,
with our fund balance ending like it did with a $2.1 million expense, what's our position? How do you think we are as far as fund balance in relation to the general fund?
So, it's important to note that these were not operating expenditures that dropped your fund balance this year. These were planned capital one-time expenditures that you invested in the communities. But looking at your general fund balance at year end, the $6.3 million is your ending fund balance. That's 45% of your total general fund budgeted expenditures, which is solid. The state likes to see something in the 15% to 20% range, 15% to 25% even. And you're at 45%. So you're solid there. But you wouldn't want to see that drop every year for operating expenditures. But you've done a really nice job of keeping your operating expenditures very stable. And you're really just spending the money on capital and construction type projects.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? On the, we do actuarials, correct?
Correct.
And we make payments. It's every 2 years for?
You get an actuarial report every other year, but you make payments monthly, really.
No, but they tell us how much to make to make sure that our pension.
Yes, they tell you what your annual contribution should be, and you are completely in compliance with that.
Right. On our OPEB obligation, where are we? You didn't mention
the OPEB. The administrative OPEB plan is $1.7 million net liability, and the fire OPEB plan is at $3.3 million. Both of those, the liability increased this year, but again, it's the investments.
Because it goes like up and down.
Correct.
The investments.
Correct.
And I think the ARPA dollars also affected, didn't we get in 2023 half, $4.4 million, and then in 2024 the rest of it?
I believe it was 21 and 22 that you received the dollars. You actually received the dollars. We're recording those as revenue as you spend them. So not all of this, not the whole amount that you received in ARPA money has not been reflected yet in the financial statements. It's as you spend it, we're matching the revenue per the state requirements. That's how they like to see that recorded, is as you spend it, we're matching it with the revenue, so the net would be zero coming into the fund. So we still have some that you haven't spent.
No, I know.
Well, I haven't spent as of December 31st, 23. I'm sure you've spent some along the way here in 24.
Yeah.
But you want that all obligated by the end of this calendar year, 2024, which I know you're aware of. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to make sure that happens so we don't lose it. And then the projects have to be complete by 2026, correct?
Correct.
Any other questions or comments from board?
Just wanted to say thank you to the township board, and also your the department heads and staff have been wonderful to work with as usual. I appreciate everyone's account being very accommodating, and makes for a very efficient and pleasant audit. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Raina. Number five, we have the consent agenda. We have the minutes of the July 16th, 2024 regular meeting.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support Peterson.
Support Peterson. And I do have some changes. And I normally just give them to Heather to make the changes. So I do have some changes for it. Does anyone else have any comments regarding them? I don't need to go through these, do I? Normally I don't. I just give them to Heather. So if we could have the motion to include the corrections.
Or yes. Recommend.
Thank you. Peterson, do you agree to that?
I do.
So we have a motion and support to approve the minutes of July 16th with edits and suggestions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Statements and checks. We have the statements and checks for August 6, 2024, statements and checks for August 20th, 2024, Clarity Healthcare Deductible, and the Clarity Healthcare Deductible Administration Fee for July.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support Swanson.
Support Swanson. Questions or comments? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Number C is a treasurer's report for July of 2024. Need a
so moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Swanson.
Support Swanson. Questions or comments regarding the treasurer's report? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is the attorney report. Attorney Winters.
Madam Chair, the township, through Township Assessor Linda Goslin and Deputy Assessor Brian McCleary, have been identifying properties that the vacant parcels that have come to the township over the years in various ways, most commonly by Washtenaw County Treasurer through tax foreclosure, et cetera. And we continue to try and market those properties, especially to those homeowners who actually can combine those lots to the existing homestead. And because the township, as you'll see in Brian's presentation tonight, the township is continuing to expend significant dollars in mowing those vacant parcels. So whenever we get a chance to actually sell a parcel to a homeowner, especially who can combine those lots, it not only is a win-win for the homeowner, and also it helps the township just reducing our cost. Sure, you heard the auditor in regards to maintaining our expenditures, trying to maintain less amount of mowing and removal of blight and litter, which quite frankly takes up quite a bit of our time during the summer months as well. And in that regard, the township board previously approved, authorized our office to negotiate with a homeowner for the property at 1293 Holmes Road, and Brian and I are scheduled to meet with that homeowner this coming Thursday. But tonight, I would like to at least focus your attention on what I just kind of perceive to be ongoing issues that seem to impact the township at times more in a disparate fashion than other parts of Washtenaw County. I'm referring to what I think is the ongoing challenges from an environmental standpoint. I would like to at least acknowledge that yesterday Treasurer Eldridge had sent me a newspaper article from the Detroit News, and it was picked up by M Live today about over here in Belleville, which is obviously a mile from our border. The federal government in Eagle believes that it's a good idea to transport radioactive soil and concrete from the Manhattan Project located in western New York to that disposal facility in Belleville. So they're coming from Niagara Falls, a storage site in western New York, all the way to basically, you know, on our doorstep. And the Wayne County executive, Warren Evans, expressed his outrage as how this part of Michigan continues to be, in his words, the dumping ground for a lot of issues that are not being addressed in those states where the material is coming from. And many of you remember that in 2 years ago, there was a train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, carrying hazardous waste, and that ended up in the doorstep of Wayne County, Washtenaw County's doorstep. And I say that because the township has spent a great deal of money and effort trying to figure out how we can redevelop the part of the township, which is right next door to this landfill. And the idea of bringing in low-level radioactive soil and concrete doesn't seem to be a very good idea. Eagles permitted it. I did see where the state representative from Belleville is opposing this, as well as Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, but it appears to be a done deal from what I can tell. And again, it just frustrates the fact that, adds to the level of frustration, rather, as to the other issues that are occurring in our township. And I'm referring, one, of course, to that pile of what I call the coal ash product on Michigan Avenue that was mountains of coal that we went to court over, still trying to confirm the cleanup of that property. That was the one that also was inspected by Eagle, and these are my words, they kind of shrug their shoulders, so, okay, it's there, so what? And again, it comes down to making sure our representatives in Lansing are aware that these are concerns that the township has for years felt like we become also a dumping area for everybody else's problems. I'm also going to refer to the fact that Supervisor Stumble and myself have met with the County Water Resource Commissioner Evan Pratt on a number of occasions. I think Engineer Matt Parks continues to work on a plan to address the flooding that continues to occur significantly in the West Willow and Sugar Brook neighborhoods. Whenever you have these so-called rain events, they call it a 100-year storm, 500-year storm. All we know is that when we have these storms, a lot of basements get flooded, and we need to have that addressed. And the last time it happened, there was efforts being made by Evan Pratt to have the county declare an emergency. Only the county executive can declare an emergency that allows people to qualify for certain types of financial relief. The emails that I saw, it was not declared to be an emergency because it only, in the words of one person in that email chain, only affected, I think, 4% of the, 1% of the of the county. Well, if you're part of that 1%, you're impacted greatly, and I don't think the county should be picking winners and losers based upon areas in this county. When help is needed, then help should be received, especially at the county level. So in addition to the coal ash from that was ignored by Eagle and the flooding that was in West Willow and Sugar Brook ignored by the county, we continue to have a significant number of, maybe Lucan is aware of this more than I am from YCUA, significant discharges of sewage from the Huron River by Ann Arbor into the Huron River. And of course, that makes its way down to the Ford Lake. And we're also dealing with issues right now where the city wants to remove the Pen Paper Dam, and we're still not convinced that everything that we've been told is accurate in regards to the impact the sediments are going to have upon those homeowners who live in the township along the Huron River and also Ford Lake. On top of that, you still have a number of issues where PFAS is being discharged into the storm waters in Ypsilanti Township. That may be coming from the property that was formerly owned by General Motors. And so we continue to deal with those issues as well. So when you wrap a big bow around this presentation tonight, am I simply trying to raise the level of awareness by the current board and the new board that will soon be taking office that we have a lot of environmental issues that do impact economic development, they impact the quality of life, and it's going to be important for us to continue to make sure. I know the fire department was here, but they left before I could get to the chief is here, though, in regards to being prepared for what response is the local fire departments are prepared to deal with if, in fact, there's an accident involving these radioactive kind of material coming through Ypsilanti Township on its way to the landfill facility right next door. So all these issues continue to, I know, bother the board, they bother me, because we just see a pattern again where we sometimes just feel that we receive disparate treatment. We know there's a number of areas in our township that have been identified by the University of Michigan Poverty Initiative Study as being in the low opportunity index. And again, I think whether you call it environmental justice or environmental injustice, the fact remains that this board needs to remain vigilant on all of these environmental concerns, because they don't seem to be going away, and they actually seem to be actually making my list longer during the last 12, 18 months. So I wanted to highlight that tonight because it's been in the news the last day or so, and hopefully the state of Michigan can also, and our reps can actually be of assistance in regards to the Van Buren situation, because that is our neighbor. We're closer to that landfill than we are most parts of Washtenaw County. So just want to bring that to your attention, and thanks, Stan, for bringing that to my attention.
Thank you, Mr. Winters. Any comment?
Yes. Who approves if the state rep is against it, the board is against it, how does it get to the landfill? Is it money that the landfill accepts?
It's the federal government that authorizes this. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Buffalo District are the ones that have taken the position that we don't even need your approval anyways. We can send it to whoever is licensed to accept this material. But there seems to be, you would think that if you create the material in your home state of New York, in western by Niagara Falls, that there surely has to be a place somewhere along the way besides sending it 600 or 700 miles by truck. You know, I don't know. I think everybody sees the truck traffic the way I see truck traffic, and the idea of transporting this material is kind of scary, a thought, knowing the way that people drive these days, the accidents that occur,
that's hazardous,
breakdowns that occur.
Yeah.
And again, I just read the fire chief is here, because again, I know they deal with this on a monthly basis, I believe, at their hazmat meetings or county meetings, but it's the federal government through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers that signs off on these.
Oh, so they say wherever they pick the site to dump.
The site has to say yes, and of course that's where the money comes into it. I mean, they're not being forced to accept it, but they've got their hand up saying yes, we're qualified to accept it, so they'll take it. But I'm just saying, though, it seems like it's unfair to this area to continue to carry the burdens of this. This responsibility is more of the country's, not just Ypsilanti, Van Buren Township.
Right.
So that's the point, I guess. So we've dealt with this before many years ago when they created the Tosca landfill over there, tried to have the EQ discharge all the leachate into the township. So these issues have been going on for at least, I know, the last 25, 30 years, and they kind of sometimes slows down a little bit, then it picks right back up again. So just be vigilant.
It seems to me there would be some sort of public awareness on it. You know, I mean, even if it's an approved site, But I think we should know if they're going to be traveling and when they're traveling, so we can be aware of it.
We have to give notice of a public hearing with if a neighbor lives within 300 feet, if there's a zoning change or something that might could potentially, just as a matter of courtesy, we sometimes even go beyond the 300 feet. But when you have no notice that it's a fait accompli before you can react to anything, it doesn't bode well for the township to learn about this through a media outlet, as opposed to at least being at the forefront where you can ask intelligent questions before you see the convoy of trucks from September, August through next year bringing in radioactive waste material.
That's alarming. And it's supposed to be the environmental justice area on their map. What good does that do if they're not going to try to protect it, you know? And I don't know how to do that.
Testing. Oh, hi. Haley Brown from Congresswoman Dingell's office. I did just want to mention that the Congresswoman is going to host a hazardous waste town hall in Van Buren September 4th. We just secured the location and date today. So that's going to be at the Wayne County Community College District Ted Scott Campus, 9555 Haggerty Road, September 4th at 7 o'clock. Like I said, it's all in the planning process right now, so that's why no one's heard of it, because we're still planning it. But unfortunately, the Congresswoman, like everyone else, learned about this from that article, so she's also extremely concerned about the lack of communication from the Army Corps of Engineers. We know, why is it coming here? Why not somewhere else? And so, unfortunately, there is just a whole lack of information and communication from the top down. So I just want to share that. We're hoping to have representatives from Eagle, from Republic, which is the disposal company, the site, as mentioned. Unfortunately, it is, not required, but it does accept hazardous waste. It has since 1984. So is it able to? Yes. Should it? Probably not, especially from, you know, like we said, New York State is where this is coming, and they're saying up to 25 trucks a week at this point. So yeah, it's not like it's just a truck coming once a week or, you know, once a month. It'll be kind of continuing at least for a very long time. So we're trying to figure out what's going on, how it could potentially be stopped, or at least to get, you know, answers. I think the public deserves answers. So like I said, September 4th, Ted Scott Campus, WCCCD 9555 Haggerty Road, September 4th at 7 o'clock. And so I'll share that far and wide when we get that confirmed.
Yeah, if you would send it to me, then we'll put it out on our website. Mm-hmm. Just for clarity, in the article it says that Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy approved the shipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we learned about it from the article as well, so I don't have any additional information to share. It does seem like that's the case, so we're trying to get representatives from all these agencies to be there to hold them accountable. So we'll see. It also depends on who accepts. You know, you can invite people to come, but will they? I'm not quite sure. So well, we've had one last year with the hazardous waste. This was shortly after the incident with the East Palestine, where we were able to prevent the waste from coming here. But like as was mentioned, this is, you know, happening more and more frequently with it seemingly more and more extreme cases. So we're trying to hold these agencies accountable and get at least some basic information.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
I'm glad you were here.
Yeah, and Haley, I know you have this, but if you can just put it on your notes as well, that site is roughly 1 to 1.5 miles from our water source at Yucca.
Okay, thank you.
No one's watching, I don't think. That's how I feel anyways. If they are, they don't. I hope everyone's not working at home in the state of Michigan and working, because someone should have notified us, or Van Buren would have notified us too. We should have got a notice of some sort of this huge cleanup. And why can't it stay in New York? Like, change the federal law. Take care of your own waste, you know, instead of bringing it here. Sorry, that is very upsetting. Any other comments?
So it's very concerning, but I think in addition to that concern, at least in this case, it's traceable. In the coal pile that was dumped here, there is no tracing at this point where it came from, cross state lines. So at this point, Eagle literally did kind of just shrug it like there's nothing they can do. And I'm not saying that what this happening here is okay, but at least we know who to go talk to and to say something. At this point, the coal situation is just a big cover-up. We don't know where it came from. We don't know what it was. We just know that it showed up dumped in our community, and we acted quickly to get it out of our community. But what does that mean for the next community? Like, it, in these instances, people should be able to know. Everybody wants to talk about transparency. There's no transparency in what happened with that coal stuff. And it's still not taken care of. We know that there was runoff. We know it ended up in our water source. And really, literally, you're right, Treasurer Eldridge. Like, this, it should have factored into the equation. Just because they can take the waste doesn't mean that it's okay for it to be around the water source, not just for our community, but for the city of Ypsilanti and every other community that Yucca serves. It's unconscionable, really.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Trustee Peterson.
I have a question for the attorney. Mr. Attorney, did the state notify the township in any kind of way on the state level?
No, there's been no communication on this issue. And there's been very little communication on the ones that we talked about earlier. So, again, I think we need to reach out to our reps in Lansing, and I know Congresswoman Deagle is very accessible. He's very sensitive to these issues, but we're kind of always learning things after the fact, it seems like. That seems to be the pattern. And like Trustee Swanson said, on that coal product, we don't know where it came from, and maybe just as importantly, we don't know where it went.
Right.
So, and again, you count on these agencies to protect not only the, you know, to protect us and uphold the environmental laws. It doesn't mean that you have to, we have to agree with everything that they say, but we should know what's going on, because the transparency becomes a very loose term that has no meaning when you don't, when you do things in the darkness and you don't includes your stakeholders, what's going on. I don't understand how, of all people, I think it's really outrageous that the Congresswoman's office was not notified. I can't believe that at the federal level that they would not have the courtesy to let her know what was going on in her district. That's unheard of, I would think. That they would be that devious, that's my word, devious. But I don't know, it's just a, it's not right, and again, it goes back to the, my own position is that it's again, we know that the lowest opportunity index seems to be highly proportioned in Ypsilanti Township and in different areas, and they call it environmental justice, but I think it's environmental injustice at times, because again, we seem to have a pattern here that has been well established, and so when people don't respond to us, but you think you see a different result or different response in other parts of the county on some of these environmental issues, after a while you start to believe that there is a disparate treatment upon this part of the Washtenaw County, especially the township. So it is what it is. So they say I'm wrong, and they need to show me why I'm wrong, but I don't. When they failed to declare an emergency because only 1% of the county was impacted by the flooding, well, that 1% is in Ypsilanti Township.
Right.
It was all Ypsilanti Township.
So we send our 6 mills over there like everybody else. So you can't declare an emergency because only 1% was impacted? Well, tell that to the homeowners who are digging sewage out of their basement or water out of their basement and throwing away furnishings for the nth, I don't know how many times, maybe half a dozen. It's just, it's not right.
It's wrong. It's wrong. Yeah.
The only other thing that I would want to point out is that, like, when you look at the actions of our board and how carefully we gave thought to the idea that when Galt Village was demolished, like the attention that was given to notifying people, making people aware, having somebody there monitoring, watching the air quality, making sure that when things were being taken out of there, asbestos and other materials, that they were going to a place they were supposed to, that there were manifestos. So building all that trust as a board ourselves, and not only paying attention to like just specific, but the community as a whole, like where is it going, and then to just have somebody come and make a decision that they're just going to drop something in our community. The world is different. Things change. People use materials and things that they shouldn't, and as time goes on, we have to figure out how to clean things up and do it. But to do that, it requires that people understand that the choices they make impact other people. And so it's really frustrating to know that we paid extra for monitoring. We went slow so that it could be done in a way that kept people safe, communicated that to people. When you do that, at least people can feel, maybe if they don't feel good about it, they feel like they know. But in this case, it just, when you look at it compared to like what we've tried to do and build in our community as we take care of things, even the Ford property, it happens that materials get used that you're not supposed to or there are messes. But we're trying to clean up things in a way that people can feel good about. And it really feels like people are just thinking we're their dumping place that they can dump on us. And how are we ever going to get it all cleaned up? Nobody's helping us. We used our budget money to take care of the Galt Village. Like, we're the ones doing that. Nobody comes in and says, okay, well, we're going to help you. Even this place is the waste facility is going to benefit financially. Our community is not going to benefit in any way possible from that. So it's just really, really frustrating and discouraging to know that we are trying to lift ourselves up and take care of our people. And it's hard when other people aren't trying to do the same thing for us. With us should be the right word.
I can just say, make one final comment. What I don't quite understand, and maybe it'll come out during this September 4th hearing, but the article says that the materials destined for Wayne disposal are soils and rubble that contain residual radioactivity from uranium processing during World War II. You're talking about materials that have been around here for 80 years, so if they have plenty of time to figure out, maybe there's a better alternative if it's been, they've been dealing this for 80 years. Why all of a sudden are they now saying it has to come to Van Buren Township through all the federal highways coming straight through I-94 and through St. Township and presumably getting off probably at Rossinville Road?
Well, and it is not only a water source, like an elementary school in our community, and like there are children's ball fields like less than a mile from there. If you're looking at Van Buren, like this just, like to plunk it here and not know our community and what's there, that's just.
And the next item is old business. We have the second reading of proposed ordinance 2024-507, which is an ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 4, Section 62-76A1 of the Code of Ordinances, Charter Township of Ypsilanti, to adjust the water service rate. Did you want to go first? Or? I have a ordinance, second reading of the ordinance to offer. It's an ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 4, Sections 62 through 77 of the Code of Ordinances to adjust the sewage disposal rates. Be it ordered by the Township of Ypsilanti that Section 62-77 of Chapter 62, Article 4 of the Code of Ordinances be revised as follows. For all billings rendered prior to September 1st, 2024, existing sewage disposal services rate shall prevail. For all billings rendered on or after September 1st, 2024, charges for sewage disposal services shall be as follows: for each bi-monthly two-month period as listed in the resolution, number two, the commodity rate, $3.05 per 100 cubic feet.
motion is in order?
So moved.
Support Peterson.
Motion Eldridge, support Peterson. Mr. Blackburn?
Good evening, Supervisor Stumbo and members of the board. Just a reminder, this is the 2% proposed increase in the sewer rate. This primarily covers increased expenditures expected at the wastewater treatment plant and or in the collection system pump station type of capital. Mainly seeing increases, again, in professional services, utilities, natural gas usage for the incinerator at the facility. Definitely some of the assets at the plant that are original to the original facility, such as primary clarifiers, some of the original switch gear in our solids processing building is due for replacement. The proposed increase's impact on a customer's bill, assuming approximately 10 units of usage, is about 96 cents on a bi-monthly basis. I think it's always best just to talk about it together. So what is the actual impact to a customer for water and sewer? And I know water comes next, but it's about a 2.57% increase when we look at both of these rate increases, or $2.65 on a bi-monthly bill, which places the average township bill at just over $105 on a bi-monthly basis. And welcome any questions from the board.
Question or
comment? Madam Chair.
Yes.
Luke, could you just give a little information how we got there? Was told that our increases have not happened in, like, what was it, 7 years that we ever adjusted our rates? Is that so?
No.
I, of course, was gone for 5 years, but since I've been back, it's been pretty consistent on an annual basis.
I take the question back. I don't mean it that way. Not that it hasn't been adjusted, but there's a lot of other surrounding communities paying way more to me. That was my question. Right. Can you just elaborate on that to let them know that we haven't been as high as some of the other communities? Is that a fact?
That is absolutely correct. It's been a while since Duane and I've actually went and done like a kind of a market analysis of what other communities pay. Every year we go through, some of this information is kind of hard to dig up just depending on the timing of it. But we go through and routinely the township of Ypsilanti is near the bottom in regards to the cost for water and sewer service for its customers. Absolutely.
And also just dealing with some of the chemicals, we find out that the increase, even since the COVID, they have went sky high and they're gouging somewhat when we were in COVID. And I see Dave Scousy here, who also sits on the board with myself. The gouging, when the COVID happened, with the chemicals, they went sky high on their prices to clean the water with these chemicals. And you know it has to be done. And, you know, they're going back and forth with prices. So some things have went up, and that's kind of what you kind of, you know, had to deal with also.
Absolutely. I mean, in regards to the sewer rate, one of the major chemicals that we saw significant price increases during COVID was, of course, chlorine or sodium hypochlorite, which is used by the wastewater treatment plant. We only use that in a few different processes at the plant, so it didn't affect the sewage side of the business as drastically. It definitely affects, we don't treat water. We purchase water from Great Lakes Water Authority. I worked for Great Lakes Water Authority for 5 years, and I was there when those price increases were going on, and those were, you're absolutely correct, substantial increases, which of course is absorbed by their contract communities. They have a lot of buying power in Southeast Michigan, so they definitely tried to curb that, and I feel like the rate increases that GLWA has passed on to the authority has been appropriate. There's YCUA is very active with Great Lakes Water Authority on a number of committees, rate committees, to look at the budgets, the proposed rates, and it's expensive to treat water in this day and make capital investments, but I think it's what's best for the community.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? I just realized that I said water service and I read the sewer ordinances, so we're reverse it. I apologize. I think something else that we also have assistance for people, right? From the different, well, Ypsilanti Township does, and so, then you have several other ones.
Absolutely. The Water Residential Assistance Program, I apologize for not giving that update. I did, as briefly discussed at the last Township Board meeting, we talked about potentially a funding issue within that program. So I did do some follow-up in regards to that matter. And it is, the way I understand it, the funding status of that program is in flux. You know, there's certain months where funding could go below the number of customers that are trying to enroll in the program, but that doesn't mean that they're ineligible to apply for the program indefinitely. So they might have to wait a month or two, hopefully until the funding comes up. And one thing I learned was that it's heavily driven, of course, by water usage. Well, this summer, water usage has been lower, temperatures have been lower, we've had a lot of rain, so as water consumption is down, the way that that pool of money through RAP is created is through the communities paying a portion of that. They take a portion of those water revenue and place it into that program. So as that revenue is decreased, it has put more pressure on that program. So hopefully that's a, you know, a short-term issue. And then, of course, we also have, we currently still have the Washtenaw County Low-Income Housing Assistance Program. We also have the Township Rebate Program for eligible customers.
All right. So we have a motion and support. And I, for the record, I read this sewer service resolution. We need to do a roll call vote because it's our ordinance. Swanson?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Stembo votes yes. Eldridge stepped out for just a moment. Hunter?
Yes.
The motion is approved and the resolution is adopted. The second item on the agenda is a second reading proposed ordinance 2024-508. And I want to make sure I have this right. This is, which is for the water rate. All right, it's nice to have a full board. Ordinance number 2024, an ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 4, Section 62 through 76A1 of the Code of Ordinances, which is adjustment to the water service rates. Be it ordered by the Charter Township of Ypsilanti that Section 62-76A1 of Chapter 62, Article 4 of the Code of Ordinance be revised as follows. For all billings rendered prior to September 1st, 2024, existing water sewer service rates shall prevail. For all billings rendered after September 1st, the charges for water service rates shall be as followed. For each monthly two-month period, as listed in the resolution, and the commodity rate is $3.88 per 100 cubic feet. We need a motion to approve the second reading. Motion Swanson.
Second.
Second Newman. What happened is I put it in my packet backwards, so. Apologies. You gave a presentation already on the water, right?
Yeah, I would just, thank you, Supervisor Schumer. I would just remind the board that this is commensurate with the increase from Great Lakes Water Authority, a major portion. YSUA does not operate its own water treatment facility. So this is the same rate increase that we received from Great Lakes Water Authority.
The pass-through.
Yep, correct. And welcome any questions in regards.
So every year we get notified of the rate from Detroit that's passed on to all of their contract communities for water?
We do. We get notifications well in advance. The current the rate increases go into effect July 1st, so it's already went into effect for YCUA and other contract communities. YCUA continues to receive a very competitive rate when I look at and evaluate other contract communities that are serviced by Great Lakes Water Authority. YCUA significantly benefits from having a significant amount of water storage. So the calculation that is done in the, you know, for the rate, we, you know, receive a benefit from that because there's portions of the calculation we don't benefit from, such as, for example, distance.
the thing that hurts YCUA and our communities is the when they change the law on how people who qualify for the low interest loans.
We have been unsuccessful the last 2 years in drinking water revolving fund through Eagle. Definitely due to the new scoring criteria established by Eagle under the new MCL, the new law, and the township does not qualify as overburdened, and it makes it really difficult. As I think we heard a couple weeks ago, you have approximately, I think it was 85% or 93%, it was one of the two numbers, but a significant proportion of funding goes to communities that qualify for that overburdened status and or significantly overburdened status. Therefore, there's just not, YCUA could have a perfect project and score 80 points, but those other 20 points are being reserved for that status. So there's not much YCUA can do to restructure the project to be eligible, as long as, I'll say, the playing field stays the same.
And I did have a Zoom call with Eagle,
yes,
and they said after 3 years they can look at change in the language so we can qualify. So we went out for a $5 million project in one of our neighborhoods, and normally it would be 2.5% interest rate. Well, because we had to go to market because of the change in the state law, it was 4%. So paying that much more on a $5 million project is going to affect our rates eventually. It has
Absolutely.
To, because it's so much more than what anyone would pay. No one would go to market, you know. So they said that they would look at changing the language, but they can't do that for 3 years. So, and they also said that they would see if there's other ways to get funding for Ipsy Township. The city still qualifies, but Ypsilanti Township no longer qualifies under the current criteria.
Correct. YCUA continues to be aggressive in pursuing funding. We've worked closely with OHM and their team to look at all available opportunities for grants or direct funding requests from elected officials. We've tried to increase that activity, and we're just hoping to see some benefits from that.
So we've asked the state, we've asked the federal government, our representatives as well, because of the unfair advantage that we're now at. So next year we're going to complete it, because we have to invest in the community and, you know, fix the issues. I mean, it's an aging system. But at the same time, once again, I just feel like we're being shorted on the solutions in areas that really need it. So we'll keep fighting, and we'll keep everyone updated. And it was a good meeting. The governor's office actually put it together for us, and because I sent an email. I just sent an email, and I'm like, how can you do this to our residents and our community? And they set up a meeting. So I don't know if anything will come out of it. We'll keep everyone posted to see if we can get our interest rates the same as other communities. They said one of the reasons is to make sure up north can qualify. So I guess they do now. And there's not a lot of money available like there was. There were billions coming in from Rescue Fund and other, but now it's not. So we'll keep going, you guys. We're going to keep asking and trying to change it back so we can qualify.
Absolutely.
So we have a motion, support. We have to do a roll call vote. Swanson?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Stumbo votes yes. Eldridge?
Yes.
And Hunter?
Yes.
The second reading is approved. Thank you.
Thank you for the support. Thank you.
Under new business, item one is a request to receive authorization for circuit court litigation to abate a public nuisance at properties identified as 570 Laverne and 1428 Foley, which is funded in account 101-729-801-023.
Good evening, Board. Belinda Kingsley, Community Compliance Director.
The first property that I'd like to request actually confirmation of authorization that was provided by the three full-time electeds is at 570 Laverne. The ordinance department has investigated nuisance complaints there, primarily overgrown vegetation, for a two-year period. Last year it ramped up a little bit, was just getting more overgrown. We did have our contractor go in and remove a lot of vegetation last year, but at the beginning of this year, the same thing happened. And the way that it ramped up was the police got involved in it. They were getting complaints about people hanging out there, breaking into the house, vandalism. There's three properties that back up to this, that border this house, so they were all concerned because people were hanging around in essentially their backyards. So working with the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department, the squatters were evicted from the property, and then we had a contractor come in and on two different occasions board up the lower level windows. And then we've also had a contractor, our vegetation contractor, come out and remove vegetation to give the police a better sight line visibility when they drive by, and also to remove the shrubs that were overgrown and grass that was providing cover for the people that were doing this. We've invested, the OCS department's invested a lot of time, and township has invested a lot of money in maintaining this property. I guess I should have mentioned the owner was deceased, and no one from the family has stepped forward, opened an estate, taken control of the property and maintained it. There has been a few different property maintenance companies involved, and none of them have really provided the kind of maintenance that needed to be done to keep it mowed and in good shape. So we've had to step in and take care of all that. So due to the escalating conditions there, we did ask for administrative approval, and it was provided on August 2nd by our full-time elected officials to open a probate estate in Washtenaw County, which will allow the estate public administrator that's appointed by the Attorney General's office for Washtenaw County to be the personal representative to oversee this property and maintain it, distribute the assets once the estate's closed. So I'm seeking confirmation of that approval that was given on August 2nd.
Questions or comments? This was a beautiful home, and it was so well maintained. It's absolutely gorgeous, and the driveway comes off the Ecorse Dorset.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know when the gentleman passed away, but he maintained it, so it was beautiful, and it was the neighbors. They called our office, and it was just getting totally out of control. I didn't know it was abandoned and people was living in there, but usually our residents are the ones that lets us know.
Absolutely.
And then once we investigate it, then we find out. But this is a sad situation because it was a beautiful, and it's a large piece of property.
It is. Hopefully it'll be restored to useful use again.
We have them together as two agenda items.
Okay. All right. The second one is 1428 Foley, which, again, we've investigated the public nuisance. This is another property where the owner is deceased, and then the property was subsequently foreclosed by the mortgage company. And despite promises by the mortgage company's property management company, they have not maintained the property. We've received numerous complaints regarding overgrown grass and weeds, along with blight, and there's been solid waste violations. There were attempts by the family who is still in the area to clean out the house, but they also left a mess that eventually we did get a court order and cleaned it up. So we have mowed, we've cleaned it up. We've mowed as recently as May of this year, despite assurances from the newest company that they would maintain it. We were reimbursed by the for the amount that we had spent to date. We do have a little bit more outstanding now because of the recent mowing, but they did reimburse us for that, but they have not maintained it, and it's continued to deteriorate. It's a blighted eyesore, and it's causing issues with the neighbors. The complaints are continuing. We do know that the house was not winterized initially, so there was pipes that burst and ceilings that collapsed due to the water damage, so there is quite a bit of work to do on the inside, but the outside also continues to look bad. It has boarded up windows. They're in violation of our ordinance that only allows windows to be boarded up for 30 days, and it's just not something that the neighbors should have to tolerate. So we'd like to move forward with this one to bring, just initiate legal action in the circuit court to address this blight issue.
We need a motion and support to approve the two items. Sure. We should have a motion first, but.
My question, right?
Yeah.
Are we, it's not funny, but you know what I always ask on these. Are we, have these been checked for vermin and infestations?
Yes, they both have. And neither one had any issues that needed to be treated. There were no signs of any type. This one in particular I was more concerned about because there was blight outside. The other one, it was mostly a, you know, tall vegetation kind of issue that provides cover. But with this one, there was more solid waste things outside, but there was no sign of any infestation.
We need a motion and support.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion Peterson.
Support.
Support Aldridge. To authorize circuit court litigation to abate a public nuisance at 570 Laverne and 1428 Foley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number two, thank you, Belinda. Item number two is request authorization to purchase Windows Server 2025 license in a not to exceed amount of $36,000, which is budgeted.
So moved.
Motion Aldridge.
Support Swanson.
Questions are coming. I know Travis is here. This is the time of year that we do these purchases and start moving forward. Windows Server 2025. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number three is a request to approve the services from the Center for Internet Security for Albert Network Monitoring and Management in the amount of $19,250.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion Peterson.
Support Swanson.
Support Swanson. In talking to Travis earlier, he didn't want to do the $16,1800 as part of this board action because that could be adjusted in 2025. He just requested that we do 2024. It goes to 2025. Any questions or comments? Mr. Winters, have you?
I'm not sure I received a contract, Travis. Is this, I just saw CrowdStrike's name involved in this, and they, of course, were the ones that shut down the whole world a few weeks ago.
Luckily, this one doesn't have the ability to shut us down for a day while I'm out of town. But I have not sent that over yet. It will be as soon as I will do it tomorrow.
So contingent upon attorney approval? Friendly amendment? Aldridge and Swanson?
It's me. That's correct.
Peterson and Swanson. So this is contingent upon attorney approval. Thank you, Mr. Winters. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number four is a request to approve the revised proposal with OHM Advisors for Construction Administration for the Civic Center Pond Renovation Project in the amount of 39, not to exceed $39,600, which is budgeted. This is one of the ARPA projects.
So move Peterson.
Motion Peterson. Need a support to discuss this?
Support.
Support Eldridge.
Good evening, John Hines, Municipal Service Director, and Matt Parsh from OHM is here as well to answer any questions. But this is a request to approve OHM to oversee the construction administration and project record file with as-built drawing for the pond project that will be brought forward for board approval later on tonight at the meeting. So the two tasks that are included is the revised design and bidding documents, the bidding assistance, and contract execution, again, as well as the construction admin. And barring any construction setbacks, you know, if approved tonight with the bidders that we received, the project would complete in fall of 2024.
Matt, do you have anything else to add?
No, just to clarify, you mentioned revised proposal. We had originally bid this out back in January for this potential spring or summer construction project. Bids came in very, very high. A lot of the reason for that was the replacement of the pond liner. This project, as it was repackaged, does not touch the existing pond liner. In fact, we're pretty confident that the pond will function as it does today without that. This really focuses on the new earthen embankment in front of the building and waterproofing of the building to help any kind of leak or water intrusion into the building. And that's the primary focus. This will also aid in access for the windows or any maintenance on that part of the building. As many of you know, the water butts right up to the building. So this basically is just the earthwork, waterproofing of the building. The existing pond liner will remain and be buried within that earthen embankment.
Questions or comments? Please speak to the microphone.
So can you explain a little bit more about the burial of it? Is it just we're going to leave it? It should be replaced or taken out, but we're just going to leave it. Can you, because I noticed that part about burial, so I would like to know more about that.
So there's an existing liner. The pond is actually sitting on this property, which is primarily clay. There is some sand in it, but primarily this whole site is a clay soils. The existing liner eventually one day may need to be replaced, but what we're seeing is as the pond has eroded and the liner is exposed on the edges, the pond actually holds water as is. So whether the liner is actually needed or not is kind of to be determined. This project focuses on the protection of this building and using those ARPA funds to make sure the water doesn't get in the crawl space. It'll be imported clay. And it'll basically will dewater a portion of the pond. They'll set up a sandbag wall or some type to keep some of the water that doesn't need to be dewatered, just so they can dry out the area along the building. And then the existing liner will actually import the clay on top of that liner. When and if the township chooses that the liner one day needs to be addressed, what they'll do is they'll start at the area in front of the new embankment. They'll remove that liner and put a new liner. So that you can still address the liner at a future date if need be, but this basically pushes the pond out about, 12 to 14 feet, I think, away from the building, and really is just to protect the asset that you have here, which is the building. It was reported, you know, several years ago. This goes back quite a ways, but there was water getting in to the building. I think a lot of that has been addressed by doing some fixes, but eventually when you have water pushing up against your building, it's going to find a way in. This project serves multiple purposes, keeping the water out of the building, and then just facility maintenance overall. From a safety standpoint, cleaning those windows, accessing that front is very difficult when the water is pushed right up against. So this addresses that.
So when you say buried, that means you're just leaving it where it is, not like burying it just because we don't want to dispose it. We're just leaving it in place because it's already buried.
Leaving it in place.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, so there will not be water abutting the building once this is done?
Correct.
Okay. And then there won't be a need to relocate any marine life because
that
we are going to lower it and they still have access to water? Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. So initially that was done. Quite a bit of life was relocated. But in this particular scenario, since we're only working in the footprint right up against the building, we'll still dewater. But when we dewatered the first time, there was still a significant amount of water. The contractor will really be focusing on probably a work area of about 30 feet out, and turtles or frogs or whatever have come back, and I'm sure some have, they'll be able to just move slightly to the north and be safe over there. So for what it's worth, a significant amount of effort was put in to remove turtles, fish, frogs, tadpoles, relocate them. Birds and just Mother Nature will bring something back, but we anticipate a lot has not returned, but definitely there will be some. And by leaving some of that water in there, they'll have safe haven and they'll find their way back.
Last question. So when it no longer abuts the building, the water, does this project include landscaping or some other stuff to make that, what's it going to look like when it doesn't touch the building?
Yep, so it'll be grass, so it can be mowed. I think the width of the berm was actually decided based on the township's lawn mowing equipment, so they can come through and do maintenance. And then a lot of, and this is something that John and I will talk about, but there is an optional item in there which we included in the recommendation when you award this to the contractor, or consider that later tonight. Just doing some native plantings. A lot of the reason why the pond has grown past the existing liner is because of the maintenance and the weed whacking up against the shoreline. When you allow native plantings and grasses, and there's some that look great some time of the year and sometimes they don't look great. So we're going to have to talk to the township about what kind of seeding and planting. But what we're recommending is that we authorize that optional item. The contractor will smooth out the edges of the pond, flatten it out a little bit, and then seed it with some kind of native plant mix. That will protect. It'll do two things. It'll keep some, not all. You'll never keep all of the birds from coming in and out. It's too big of a pond and too attractive for them. But the grass buffer will actually root in and help stop some of that erosion. So just mowing further back and allowing it kind of grow naturally will help prevent future erosion. So what it looks like, we can talk about that and get some seed mix pictures and make sure you guys are satisfied before we implement that. Otherwise, it'll look just like it does now.
Other questions or comments?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple for John or Matt. My concern is the $39,006. What is construction phase engineering for digging a hole in it that costs almost $35,000? And then my second concern is the sentence below it that gives the estimated cost and then says additional services can be provided on a time and material basis. What additional services would there be in digging a hole?
So, yeah, to answer your first question, construction services is simply, and it's broken down in two tasks. The first task was to revise the drawings, get it back out to bid. Second task is everything we would normally do. So that would be prepare the contract for the contractor, have Attorney Winters review it, execute the contract, hold a pre-con. There's going to be some dewatering effort and coordination. And then the actual material that gets imported in, there's material testing involved. So you can't just have any clay, and it's got to be placed systematically. It's got to be tested for density, and it's got to be compacted. So some of the effort is not just OHM, it's G2, who's going to be our material testing consultant. And then obviously making sure inspecting the liner that is covered, making sure that we know where it's at, so we can as-build it, so then when you go forward for future, if you ever do want to do any other improvements, being a liner or rip-wrapping or additional landscaping, we have the dimensions of the new pond. There's also some downspouts, roof drains, pipe that will have to be relocated as part of this. That's probably going to be in the way. We're anticipating about three and a half weeks, and that's, I would say, on the long side for full time. I think we can scale back on that, but just to give the township the level of service that you guys are used to, this is right in your front yard. There's going to be disruption. There's a lot of offices right along that facade. We want to make sure it goes very smoothly, efficiently, and that the contractor is using the appropriate material. So I think as a percent of construction, our general rule of thumb is we're usually in that 12-15% range for CE services. You guys got, the township got very, very favorable bids. I mean, we anticipated this project to come in somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 to $280,000. You secured a bid around just under $170,000. So that's fantastic. But that doesn't reduce the amount of effort that we feel it's going to take to make sure that this done job gets done appropriately.
Please.
Okay. So you mentioned 12-14% normally. This 39.6, based on the 162, is 24%.
Right. But it's 12% of the 280 that we anticipated. And really, we don't calculate, Trustee Eldridge, our services based on a percent of construction. We base it on how many weeks we think we're going to need to be out there and inspect. And we can work with John. If John's out here or his staff's out there and feels like the contractor's got it under control, it's a not-to-exceed budget. So we can simply back off. But this is the normal level of service that we would often offer and that the township would likely want from us. So that's what was proposed. Had the bids come in at 280, like we anticipated, it would fall within that normal range. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Okay.
So since they didn't come in at 280, which would have been 12-14, they came in at 162, shouldn't this number then be adjusted as well?
No, because it's based on our hours that we anticipate to be out here. The percent of construction is simply a guide.
Okay.
But we can go through it, and I can break down the hours, but it lays it out pretty nicely in the proposal. There's 3.5 weeks of full-time construction, 2 weeks of part-time, which that part-time would be the dewatering, and then following up on the punch list, making sure the grass that is growing is going to be acceptable, that the contractor's coming out performing punch lists, et cetera. So if the contractor's able to do this quicker than 3.5 weeks, we will definitely be under budget.
This has 6 weeks total anticipated time. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's the contractor has to be done in 6 weeks. We think OHM will need to be out there for 3.5 of those weeks full-time and then 2.5 weeks part-time. I'm sorry, 2 weeks part-time. So.
But if it doesn't take that long, it's a not-to-exceed amount. It's based on an hourly rate
exactly.
In the past. Is that the same?
It's exactly the same as it always is, yep.
But it is a little higher in the percentage. I have to agree with Treasurer
yep.
Eldridge.
Absolutely, and I talked to John about that, and we agree. But if the contractor is local, they are very excited to start doing municipal work. They're very used around the area for private work. They're more than capable of doing this. And I asked, why was your bid as low as it is? And they said, because we're looking forward to start doing more and more municipal work, and we live and we work in Ipsy Township, and we want to get this job. And I anticipate they're also going to bid fairly aggressively on your parking lot project. So they're excited.
They've done work for us before in emergencies, and
they do a great job.
Yeah.
They did a very, very good job, and came.
They fixed our storm sewer in about 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things. And I mean, I had this proposal written before we knew who was going to get it. And just because the bids came in low doesn't necessarily reduce our workload. However, if they can move fast and quick, like you said, Brenda, it's hourly, not to exceed. So if they can wrap this job up in 2.5 weeks, we're not going to be out here. So therefore, you wouldn't pay for our time to be out here. This is what we anticipate. And I'd rather have the board approve this and work with John to manage our time than have to come back to you in 3 weeks when we're under construction and ask for a budget amendment.
That's not going to happen. This is, knock on wood, should be a very simple project.
You would hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should be. Other questions or comments?
So I thought I read that we're going to do the dewatering in-house. John, can you tell us a little bit about what that's going to look like or how that's going to be done in-house?
So we did dewater when we did the species relocation last fall, and it would take a conversation with Luke's staff at Yucca. But we utilized their pumps and our staff to kind of coordinate to get the water out of the pond. So we did it before, and we're happy to do it again. It was a pretty straightforward process. I think we had to leave it running for about 24 hours to get it down from 4 feet to 2 feet, which made it for them able to wade through it, but for this to then create the sandbag barrier.
Be our maintenance staff dewatering with other equipment and like doing the sandbagging, and that's what's going to happen?
Diversified will do the sandbagging, but our staff hopefully will work coordinate with Yucca staff if they're able to assist again to do the dewatering.
Other questions or comment? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Number
five is Resolution 2024-11, authorizing the Charter Township of Ypsilanti to sell to purchaser Marie Good 2 vacant parcels located at 475 Greenlawn Street and 481 Greenlawn. I have a resolution. It's authorizing the Charter Township of Ypsilanti to sell to purchaser Maria Good 2 vacant parcels located at 475 Greenlawn Street and 481 Greenlawn. Whereas on or about December 29th, 2011, Washtenaw County Treasurer Catherine McCleary, acting in her capacity as a foreclosing governmental unit, FGU, under the authority of the General Property Tax Act, GPTA, foreclosed upon the certain properties in Washtenaw County Circuit Court due to delinquent real property taxes, which included 2 vacant parcels located in Ypsilanti Township, to wit 475 Greenlawn and 481 Greenlawn. Whereas on or about December 30th, 2011, the township received a quick claim deed from County Treasurer McCleary, which include the legal descriptions of 2 vacant parcels. Parcel 1, K1111332028, 475 Greenlawn, Ypsilanti, Michigan, 48198, with the legal description of Lot 118 East Lawn Subdivision, split on 6-4-2024 from K1111332011. Parcel 2 is K1111332029, 481 Greenlawn, Ypsilanti, Michigan, 48198, with a legal description of 117 East Lawn Subdivision, split on 6-4-2024 from K1111332011. And whereas on July 29, 2022, Marie Good requested of the Township Assessing Department to purchase the 2 vacant lots as described above, which is intended to combine with her property located at 469 Greenlawn Street, which property is contiguous to the Ypsilanti Township 2 vacant parcels, all of which are located on Greenlawn Street.
And whereas at the regular meeting of August 16, 2022, the Township Board of Trustees authorized the sale of the two vacant lots to the purchaser, Marie Good, which according to the market valuation report prepared by Deputy Assessor Brian McCleary, dated July 29, 2022, was valued at $7,680. And whereas on July 7th, the 7th of July, Marie Good signed the proposed purchase agreement, a copy which was attached hereto and incorporated by reference, in which she will remit to the township the sum of $7,680 in accordance with the market valuation report. Now, therefore, the Town Ypsilanti Charter Township Board of Trustees hereby resolves as follows. One, that the Township Board accept the purchase offer submitted hereto and authorize the execution of the purchase agreement by Supervisor Stumbo and Clerk Heather Gerald Rowe. And number two, the Township authorizes Supervisor Clerk and Supervisor Stumbo and Clerk Rowe to execute all the documents as required by Cisco Title to effectuate the transfer of the two parcels to the purchaser, Marie C. Good, once a closing date has been scheduled. And number three, that a certified copy of this resolution shall be forwarded to Cisco Title as set forth in paragraph 23 of the purchase agreement.
I would so move.
Motion support. Eldridge.
Support Peterson.
Support Peterson to approve the resolution. Mr. Winters, do you have any?
Madam Chair, these two parcels were originally going to be sold to Ms. Good back in 2022, and then for reasons that are not quite clear, she decided not to proceed with the purchase at that time. She contacted Deputy Assessor McCleary this year with her son assisting her and once again revived her interest in acquiring these two parcels. The purchase agreement was prepared and executed by Ms. Good. It was on the board's agenda back on July 16th, at the last board meeting. The resolution was not attached to the purchase agreement. So while the purchase agreement has been executed, in order for the title company to proceed with the scheduled closing, this resolution is being considered tonight, which will then be, will put this property back on, these two parcels back on track to be closed, hopefully sometime in September.
Any questions or comments? I think it's good to sell the township lots to adjacent landowners, and it gets it on the tax roll as well, and we don't have to maintain it. So there's a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number six is request to accept the resignation of Jeff Kerner from the Township Zoning Board effective immediately, and he is an alternate.
So move, Peterson.
Motion Peterson.
Support.
Support Eldridge. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number seven is request to set a public hearing for the 2024 special assessment roll to be held September 17th, 2024 at approximately 7 p.m.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support Swanson.
Support Swanson. To set the public hearing, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number eight is a request authorization to negotiate the sale of township-owned property located at 724 North Ford Boulevard.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support Peterson.
Support Peterson. And this will, negotiation takes place between Brian McCleary, and who's a deputy assessor, and Attorney Winters, and it will come back to the board.
Brian McCleary, Deputy Assessor. So Assessor's Office was contacted by an adjacent property owner, Mr. Blaine Strubbs, and he indicated interest in purchasing the vacant property on Ford Boulevard. That was a property that the township acquired through the tax sale. The
house was demolished on it for condition, and the township has owned it, and we're spending over $1,000, $1,050 this year to mow it. And so it's a win-win to we can put it on the assessment roll and not have to maintain the property.
Questions or comments for Brian? Brian, thank you for all your work on this. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number nine is a request authorization to negotiate the sale of township-owned property located at 1751 Smith Street.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion Peterson, support Eldridge.
So this is the 1751 Smith, same situation. Adjacent property owner contacted the assessing office. We're spending $1,050 this year to mow it, and he indicated that he'd like it as his side lot for a garden, and he'd maintain it. So it puts it on the assessment roll, and it decreases the expenses that the township would have to maintain it.
Excellent. Any questions or comments? And this will be brought back to the board for approval as well.
Right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number 10 is a resolution 2024-12 authorizing the Township of Ypsilanti to sell to purchaser Elevate Property Holdings, LLC, of Hewitt Apartments, one vacant parcel located at 785 North Hewitt, K11-06-448-800 in the amount of $10,000.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge? Support Hunter. I have a resolution to read. Authorizing the Township of Ypsilanti to sell the purchase Elevate Properties to Purchase Elevate Properties, LLC, the Hewitt Apartments, one vacant parcel, which is located at 785 North Hewitt. The Township of Ypsilanti is the owner of the parcel located at 785 North Hewitt, which consists of 0.41 acres. And whereas on or about March 8th, the Township of Ypsilanti received a request from Elevate Land Holdings, LLC, Hewitt Apartments, a Delaware limited liability company authorized to do business in Michigan with the principal offices at 128 North Center Street, Northville, Michigan, to purchase 0.41 acres located at 785 North Hewitt from the Township of Ypsilanti, which legal description of the vacant parcel is described as K11-06-448-800, 785 North Hewitt, Ypsilanti, Michigan, 48197. A legal description of park located in Fairway Heights, number 1, acreage 0.410 acres. Whereas on March 8th, Elevate requested the Township Assessing Department to purchase the vacant land as described. And whereas at the regular meeting held on August 20th, the Township Board authorized the sale of the vacant parcel to purchaser Elevate, which according to the market valuation report prepared by Deputy Assessor Brian McCleary, dated March 8th, is valued at $10,000. And whereas on the 5th day of August, 2024, Elevate Managing Member J. Robert Langland signed the proposed purchase agreement, a copy which is attached hereto and incorporated by reference, in which Elevate will remit to the township the sum of $10,000 in accordance with the market valuation report. Now, therefore, the Ypsilanti Charter Township Board of Trustees hereby resolves that, number one, the Township Board accepts the purchase offer submitted hereto and authorize the execution of the purchase agreement by Supervisor Stumbo and Clerk Heather Gerald Rowe. Number two, that the Township authorize Supervisor Stumbo and Clerk Rowe to execute all documents required by the title to effectuate the transfer of the vacant parcel to the purchaser Elevate once a closing date has been scheduled. And number three, that a certified copy of this resolution be forwarded to Cicelo Title as set forth in paragraph 22 of the purchase agreement. We have a motion and support to approve this. Is that correct? Yes. Any questions or comments?
There's no aerial.
It was in the first the board meeting where we authorized the sale of the property, which was when, and it's not in this one. It's not in this packet.
I'm not sure the aerial was actually provided on this parcel. It's a 8.5 acre parcel. I may have sent over some Google aerial maps. In regards to the 8.5 acre parcel, Mr. Langan is here as well this evening. This 0.41 acre parcel is somewhat of a landlocked parcel. I'm not really sure how the township came into ownership of this. I think Brian McCleary did some digging. I think it came to light when Mr. Langan had filed a zoning verification on his plans to go forward with actually acquiring other properties to go forward with his multi-residential plans at this location. During the course of the discussion, the 0.41 acres came to our knowledge that we own this. Mr. McCleary actually did a market valuation assessment and came to the $10,000 number. During my conversations and negotiations with LV Property, it was the township's position that if he needed this property to go forward, that we just sell this property outright before the land entitlement process commences, because this property is, again, probably very difficult to access and much less maintain, and the value is based upon the Brian McCleary's assessment. So in regards to the purchase agreement, it has been signed, and Brian, maybe there's something I left out during my recall as to how we got here, but if I did, go ahead and fill that in.
Valuation?
In regards to the ownership of the 0.41 acres, how it came to be, the township?
So a couple years ago, we started researching township-owned property and locating the deeds through Washtenaw County Registry of Deeds Office. And there are a couple out there that we've always had in the township name, and looking back through the Registry of Deeds to the 1920s and far back, it looks like they became township-owned because the actual master deed on the subdivisions dedicated them as public property. So this little piece was part of a road right-of-way or an island area, and there's a few of them out there that we have acquired because they're dedicated to the public. And so typically what will happen is on these properties that we own, the township will do a quiet title suit on those before closing, or depending on what the title company says, to declare title on it. So if you go north.
Yep, just so where on Hewitt is it located?
So the Tim Hortons on the corner of Hewitt and Washtenaw. If you go north towards the stadium, it's going to be, you're going to have on the left LeClaire Builders, that little house there.
Okay.
You go a little farther north, it's on the right there, it's the big wooded lot. It's a small piece of that. And there's that whole lot in there is actually a platted subdivision, and it's broken up into various owners. And so the township owns that little piece there.
So we have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 11 is a request to accept the recommendation of the Township of Ypsilanti attorney to accept the value determined by the Michigan Municipal League property, ML, for the insurance claim regarding the township bus that was in an accident in the amount of $42,618.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion, Peterson.
Support.
Support, Eldridge. Questions or comments?
Madam Chair, as the board knows, the Township senior bus that is in question here was involved in a property damage accident back on June 18th in 2024 when it struck, when the bus being driven by a township employee struck a part of the building trying to get out of the parking lot. And since that accident back in late June, early July, this bus has been in storage at a collision shop in Brighton, Michigan. And so after getting estimates from the collision center and turning it over to MML and going back and forth with their position, they've agreed to treat this bus as a, quote, total loss. And the $43,000 minus the $250 deductible comes out to a payout of $42,618.25. They have offered to sell the bus back to the township for $8,500, reducing our payout amount to $34,118.25. It's my recommendation, based upon my conversations with Director Hines, that we accept the $42,618, authorize the title to be signed by Supervisor Stumbo and Clerk Rowe, and accept the funds. It's my understanding the township has already gone ahead and acquired two smaller buses and is not in need of this bus. In fact, the plans were to actually sell the bus, I believe. But Director Hines is in accord with the recommendation to accept the funds, and that's my recommendation as well.
So we have a motion support. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, pardon me? Yes.
So I want to, if it's not going to be, if it's not, like, how are we going to get our name is probably on this bus, correct? So same as, like, the fire trucks. Like, if we're going to dispose of it, I want to make sure that Ypsilanti Township, the name and all that's off this bus before it's just, because if they were willing to sell it back to us, it could be they're going to sell it to somebody else, and I don't want our name on that bus if it's going to be sold. So how do we make sure that takes place?
So, yes, our name is on the bus, and I know I briefly spoke to Doug about this earlier, but there's also the fact that currently the bus is in Brighton where it was evaluated. It has our municipal tag on it as well, so there does need to be some communication with the MML on what that transfer of ownership looks like, because we need that tag back as well as we have additional keys. So I'm not exactly positive what that necessarily looks like, but agree 100% to get our name off the bus.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Weren't those signs like decals or something put on those buses or not? So it wouldn't be too hard to get them off. Is that correct?
It should not be. I mean, our mechanic did that when we switched logos. I mean, it's a very straightforward process.
They were decals, I recall, right?
Correct.
Okay. Also, with the funds, I think I heard the attorney say we're going to buy another bus.
I think that township has already bought two buses, or is planning on buying two buses. And I think the township's plans was to actually sell this bus. And so the accident happened, and of course we had to make a claim, and this is the amount the insurance company came up with, which is why we're recommending that we accept it and take care of those punch list items in regards to the decals and the plate and the keys. But I want to notify them that the board has approved this so that some point in time we can reduce any potential expenses on the storage over there.
Got it. So evidently this was an older bus then. It wasn't the new buses.
No, it's 2008.
Okay, so that is clear. Thank you.
2008, I believe, right, John?
Yep, 2008.
Thank you.
Any other comment? We have a motion support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 12 is budget amendment number 10. There's a request to increase the general fund by $8,908 to $27,043,168 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. And request to increase the 14B district court budget by 2,188 to $1,789,874 and approve the line item changes as outlined. Motion Eldridge.
Support Peterson.
Support Peterson. Questions or comments? These are all for PTO payouts. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is authorization and bids. Number one is request to seek proposals for fall protection equipment at the compost facility on Clark Road and hydro station on Bridge Road. Motion Eldridge. Support Swanson. And this will come back to the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number two is a request to waive the financial policy and award the low quote for Rowley's Wholesale to supply environmental oil to replace the hydraulic oil at the hydro station in the amount of $43,593.27, which is budgeted in line item 252-535-867-000. Motion Swanson.
Support.
Support Eldridge. Questions or comment? Michael?
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. Our routine oil analysis on the hydraulic system that operates the spillway gates came back with high water content and particulates in the oil. It is 9 years old, almost 10, so it, based on some conversations, it was best just to go ahead and change it. And we are switching manufacturers and distributors, which does save us some money. So after we get if this is approved tonight, the dam operators, who also are the maintenance people, will be planning out that exchange of the system, and we'll have to recover the used oil and have that recycled and then put the new oil in a systematically way so we don't have the system down for a very long period. Last time I did this was back in 2015, and it takes about 5 working days to do this change out.
Questions or comment? This was the lowest quote, and you had 4, so that's pretty.
Yeah, we
very good.
Yeah, we were thinking it was going to come in over 60. So,
as always, Michael, great job. Questions or comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number three is a request authorization to accept the low bid from Diversified Excavating and Site Utilities, LLC, in the amount of not to exceed $179,000, which is budgeted in line item 101-902-981-030 for the Civic Center Pond Renovation Project, and these are ARPA funds. Motion Swanson. Support Eldridge. Questions or comments? We have Matt and John here. There were 2 bidders.
Yep, so John Hines and with Matt Parks from OHM. Here to request approved, Diversified, with a quote of $162,815.50, which is budgeted in the ARPA fund for the Civic Center Pond. We are requesting a 10% as a contingency to bump the total to $179,000, not to exceed amount. If approved, this would be complete in the fall of this year. Should take about 6 weeks for contract execution, construction, and then the administration after the fact. We received 2 bids, one from Diversified and then one from Anglin Civil. They came in at just under $470,000. So Diversified's was well within our budget and would accomplish the project goals. We have a history working with Diversified. They've done some parking lot work for us in the recent memory, and I know have done some projects with OHM as well.
Questions or comments? And there will be a contract with this to be approved by your township attorney?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. There is no other business. Public comments? Are there any public comments at this time?
Hello. Hi. Monica Williams, 2150 Chevrolet. I had a couple comments that I wanted to make. I wanted to first thank Brenda, I believe. She had dealt with some of my complaints about the signs that were in various places across Ypsilanti Township in regards to basically being inside the site of vision. A lot of these signs, not just political signs, but also basically home signs to go buy a home, etc. I know she has done the best she could do to try and keep up with that, but in the same aspect, I would like to ask the township to consider basically, and it is in the ordinance to remove the signs that are in ordinance. However, maybe there needs to be some type of fines that goes along with that, because obviously there were various signs that were being picked up, and pretty much the next weekend they were right back where they picked them up at. That's absolutely ridiculous. And so unless you basically put a fine with that, I don't think it's going to discourage the behavior. Number two is, I'm not sure where the information is about the review of the law enforcement, to look at law enforcement, see how much obviously there was a budgetary savings or not. It would be great if the public has an update on that, because as I said before, I still support it. Obviously, it would need to be some type of cost savings, or Ypsilanti Township probably would not, you know, move forward with it. So it would be great to know where that is. I'm not sure where it is, but it would be great to basically have a public meeting about that. Last but not least, toxic waste. This is not the first time, actually, that toxic waste has tried to go over to that facility right near where I live, West Willow, right near basically Lakeside. It's more like the second time, but I'm really more concerned, especially when Attorney Winters was talking, that EGO approved this without coming to either one of those communities. Because the last time this was threatened, we had officials from EGO that visited the, which I'm not a part of anymore, but the West Willow Neighborhood Association. So meanwhile, between time, it's very concerning that this approval has taken place without including the voice of residents. It's extremely concerning. And I also would like to ask, where is our state representative on this? Because, I mean, I know, obviously, Representative Miller has spoke up. We do also have a state representative. His name is Jimmy Wilson. And what has he said about the same issue? Because it does also equally affect Ypsilanti Township as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Good afternoon. I am a resident of West Willow, and I want to thank the trustees and everyone for passing the renovations to the West Willow Park. Thank you, John. Also, part of that, I want to also shed light and acknowledge, as we're waiting on those renovations, we've been utilizing the park and ensuring that positive things are going on. So we actually have a elder and youth summer camp that's going on every Sunday from 2 to 3:30, where we have youth from the neighborhood and also elders from the neighborhood occupy that space, build community. So I wanted to shed light on that. And also, we are eager to be able to utilize the Community Resource Center or that White House within the neighborhood as well. And hopefully, if there is any unallocated ARPA dollars that are laying around, maybe we could use some of that to add even additional renovations to that building, to that space.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing none, a motion to adjourn. Oh, board member updates is, I'm sorry. Are there any? Motion to adjourn.
Excuse me.
Motion Eldridge.
Support.
Support Swanson to adjourn. 8:02. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?